get seated. I want to invite you to open up a copy of God's Word with me to the Gospel according to John, the fourth book in your New Testament. All right, the Gospel according to John. Tonight will be, you see it on the screen, just a small chunk, verses 18 through 25. I got to do it to start Impact tonight. I debated just doing a CATS chant, but I know there's some Duke fans in the room tonight, so I do want to be respectful to my friends. But how about them Cats? How about them Cats? How about them Cats? It was good. As a Cats fan, understand, we haven't beat Duke since 2015. That felt pretty good, right? And wishing the best for Duke the rest of the season, but... How about them Cats, right? Now, I'm really invested in Kentucky basketball. I told you that last week. But, you know, when we played Duke, which is what we did last night, by the way, I'm on the team, according to Mark Pope. So what we did last night was play Duke. Have you ever wondered if you're into the college basketball world? Maybe you don't like either team. Maybe you love them both. Maybe you hate them both. Why does Kentucky and Duke, like, why is it a rivalry game, right? Why do these two teams go? Have you watched the game last night? Like, the teams were playing like it was a national championship, and it's November 12th. Why? Well, there's one thing that you can be absolutely sure on. You can be positive when Kentucky plays Duke. There's one thing that's going to happen in that basketball game. There is going to be hatred. Because Kentucky hates Duke, and Duke hates Kentucky. Now, you may be asking, why do they hate each other? Why, as a Kentucky fan, right? Now, I don't hate Duke. The Lord has redeemed me. I just dislike them, all right? Now, why do I dislike them? Why do I dislike the Blue Devils? All right, well, it's actually two words, one name. His name is Christian Laettner. So we'll just put this picture on the screen. Now, that was before I was born. It was before you were born. The guy in white shooting the ball, his name is Christian Laettner. Now, what you don't see in that picture is, first off, this is a big game. Cats playing Duke in the NCAA tournament. A lot's on the line. Now, a little bit before this shot, Christian Laettner stomps one of our Kentucky players right in the chest. It was blatant, all right? And it was dirty. And he went back and he said, "That's exactly what I did." All right, he stomps one of our Kentucky players right in the chest. And if that wasn't bad enough, like, that's okay, we don't like Christian Laettner. But then, not too long later, like, karma isn't real. You want to know why? He hit the shot. He did a bad thing. He got rewarded. Christian Laettner is why Kentucky fans hate Duke. And in fact, if you show the next slide, still today, that happened before I was born. This is a recent picture. That's not even at a Kentucky-Duke game. That's at a Kentucky-Louisville game. And what do you see? You got this man with a "I still hate Laettner" shirt on. All right? Because Kentucky fans, we're still upset. Duke hates us. We hate them. Right? And so when you watch a game, and here's what I want you to get, you can be sure of it. You can expect it. Kirk Reese is going to talk a little smack. Cooper Flagg is going to talk a little smack. It's going to get heated because the Cats hate the Blue Devils and the Blue Devils hate the Cat. You can expect it. All right? So, here's what I want you to understand about you and me. Here's what I want you to understand about the world we live in. The world we live in is no different. You can expect one thing from this world. You can expect one thing. People say it's death and taxes. It's not death and taxes. Maybe it is death. But it's death and hatred. You will be hated in this world if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It's like tuning into a Duke and Kentucky game. You know it's going to happen. So if you watch a game, you're like, why did that get chippy? Aren't they just friends? They hate each other, right? And so what about you and me as we navigate this world? Now, we don't hate the world back, but here's what we're going to see tonight. It's our main point. You can see it on the screen. The world is going to hate you. The world is going to hate us. And so I'm going to warn you that the passage we're going to read in John chapter 15 tonight, it's not a fun one. In fact, We may walk away wishing it weren't true. But the fact of the matter is Jesus said it. And the reason Jesus said it is because he wants you and me to know what to expect tomorrow at school, to know what to expect this weekend, to know what to expect when you go off to college, to know what to expect when you move away from here and go to a big city, you go to a different part of the country, to know what to expect when you go on short-term mission trips. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to make this abundantly clear tonight in John 15, the world will hate you. Now, we don't hate the world. We love the world. But the world is going to hate us. We'll be in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. I want to read this whole section. Jesus is going to speak 18 through 25. And then we'll pray and then we'll look at it together, okay? John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. Here's what Jesus says. And if Jesus says it, we believe it. Verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not came and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now, they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for bringing us safely here to Impact tonight. God, what we pray for the remainder of our time is that every ear would be attentive to your word. God, this isn't a routine that we just want to get in. We just come here, we have fun, we leave. We want to be changed by your word tonight. We want to believe your word, and tonight's words are hard to believe. So God, I pray that you do what only you can do, and that's by your spirit, take your word, pierce our hearts. And for someone in this room, God, I pray that you'd make them brand new tonight, that you'd bring them to faith in Jesus. And for the believers in this room, I pray that you would wake them up to what life is like as we navigate the world. And that is full of hate. God, may you be honored and glorified in this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are in a series. You can see it on the screen. It's called The Final 24. We're tracking down the final 24 hours of the life of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, now Jesus is going to die. You know this if you've been with us. Jesus is going to die 3 o'clock p.m. on a Friday afternoon. So we started a long time ago, 3 o'clock p.m. on a Thursday afternoon. We've made it last week to about 9 o'clock p.m. on Thursday night, the night before Jesus dies on the cross. It's about 18 hours from his death. He's walking to the Mount of Olives. He's left the upper room. He's with his 11 disciples because Judas has left him. And he begins what we know as the farewell discourse. He begins the second part because chapter 14 happens in the upper room. Chapter 15 happens, and chapter 16 happens outside of the upper room on the way to the Mount of Olives. So 2 weeks ago, we saw him begin this. Last week, we saw him continue this. This week, we're going to see him continue it some more, and we're going to be in this farewell discourse for some time. So we're going to call it about 9, 10 p.m. Jesus is continuing part 2 of his farewell discourse. We've seen him use this metaphor of a vine and branches, right? And tonight, we're going to see that if we're abiding, if we, the branch, are abiding in Jesus, the true vine, it's tempting to believe that, okay, life's going to be easy. If I just come to Christ, life's going to get real easy. All my worries are going to be taken away. All my pain, my sorrows, my struggles, my sufferings, they'll all be wiped out, and life will be perfect. Jesus is going to totally, and I mean totally, flip that on its head here tonight, because he's going to show us once we abide in Christ, life does not get easier. It's the exact opposite. As we abide in Christ, as we trust in Christ, as we follow Jesus here in this world is going to hate us. It's going to be a promise. So we're going to see a couple different things tonight. The first, I want Jesus to show us that this verse is true. So first, I want to show you that we will be hated by the world. Let's see where Jesus says this, where he shows us this. We will be hated by the world. And he's going to show us this in four different ways. He's going to first show us that we will be hated by the world because Jesus, the one who we follow, was hated by the world first. We're hated because he was hated first. John 15, verse 18, Jesus says to his disciples and to you and to me, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. You see, the truth is, for the original disciples, I said this several weeks ago at this point, to this point, life has been relatively easy. Relatively. They faced very little resistance. They faced very little obstacles. They faced very little hatred. They've been successful in almost everything they've done. Life's been easy, relatively. But for Jesus, on the other hand, that isn't true at all. Jesus has faced great resistance. Jesus has faced great obstacles. He's been hated almost everywhere he went, and yet Jesus has persevered through it all. But now Jesus is on his way to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he's already told them that he's about to go away. They're about to see him no more for a really long time. And once he leaves, he wants his disciples to know that things are about to get exponentially more difficult for them. Things have been easy, but they're about to get hard. And essentially, what he's trying to show them is that what's about to happen to them, Jesus actually faced first. And so now it's his disciples' turn to face next. And that's because the world hated Jesus before it hated them. And what we're going to see here throughout this text tonight is that this isn't just true for the original disciples who were hated like Jesus, but this is also true for all other disciples of all time and in all places, which, if you're a follower of Christ tonight, means you and means me. So as we're hated by the world, here's the first thing Jesus wants us to understand. We're really not special because Jesus was hated first. He was hated first, and so now we are hated. We're not doing anything that Jesus didn't already do. It was him, and now it's us. And so the question is, why is this so? Why did the world hate Jesus first? Have you ever thought about it? Like, why did the world hate Jesus so much? He seems like a pretty great guy. I think he's great. Why did the world hate him? Well, the answer is that Jesus was not of the world. I want you to pay attention to this. Jesus did not do the things that were cool, that were acceptable to the world. He didn't say the things that were cool or that were acceptable to the world. He didn't believe the things. He didn't love the things that were cool or acceptable to the world. He did, he said, he believed, he loved things that were completely different from what the world was doing, saying, believing, and loving. And so the world hated Jesus. They hated him. And here's what he's trying to show us. If we truly belong to him, do you know what? The world is going to hate you too. Now, why is that? Point number two, we're going to be hated by the world because, like Jesus, we're not of the world. John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says it as clear as day. He says, if you were of the world, if you were of the world would love you as its own. The world would love you, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And I really, students, I want you to get what Jesus is saying. Because I'm worried that some of you don't get it. Jesus is saying if you lived like the world would not hate you, they would love you. You realize here tonight that it is really easy to be loved. It's easy. It is so easy to be liked. And so hear me say this. If your greatest desire in this world is to be liked or to be loved, I got news. Following Jesus may not be for you. It may not be. Because if you follow Jesus, Jesus says you are not going to be loved. Jesus says you are going to be hated. And so if you want to be liked, I'll just tell you exactly what you got to do. If you want to be cool, if you want to be loved, if you want to be liked, I'll tell you exactly what you got to do. All you got to do is start doing the things that the world loves. Like just do what the world does. You'll fit right in. You'll be of the world. People will love you. People will pat your back. Like, just think about for a moment what makes someone popular at your school. Like, think your context. What makes someone popular? What makes someone popular in our area for a teenager? If you want to be loved, here's what you do. Just go do those things. I don't want to be vulgar, but if you want to be loved, just go vape. If you want to be loved, just go have sex. If you want to be loved, just go smoke weed. If you want to love, cuss. You just cuss like a sailor. Gossip, lie, cheat, steal. Don't respect your mom and dad. Don't respect your teachers. Do what the cool kids do. Like just figure out what is cool today and just start doing it. And I promise, you'll be loved by the world. But I want you to hear me loud and clear. In fact, I want you to hear Jesus loud and clear. This isn't me, this is Jesus. If you choose to do all of these things, you might be loved, you might be cool, you might be popular, but you cannot call yourself a follower of Jesus. Because what does Jesus say in verse 19? He says, if you were of the world would love you, but you're not. You're a follower of Jesus. You're not of the world. He says, I chose you out of the world. I took you out of the world to be my holy people. Therefore, because you're like me, not of the world anymore, the world hates you. This is what Jesus says. If you truly belong to him, you do not belong to the world. And if you do not belong to the world, that means you don't do what the world does. Some of you students tonight, you got to stop living your life to be cool, to be popular, to be loved, and you got to start living your life pursuing and following Jesus Christ like crazy. Because that's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a believer. A believer and a disciple, we think there's distinctions here. They're all the same thing. If you're a believer, if you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you are not of the world. He has chosen you out of the world. So by God's grace, you don't belong to the world anymore. You belong to Jesus, and so you don't do what the world loves, and therefore, because you don't do what the world loves, the world hates you. And I just got to say, I don't want to go on a rant, but I'm sure there are youth ministries out there who will tell you, hey, Jesus is your bestie, right? Just come follow Jesus. Life's going to be good. You'll go to heaven. Everything's fine. They're not going to tell you anything hard. But students, I just want you to look at what Jesus says. That's a lie that you cannot fall for. Jesus himself says something completely different. He says Christianity is really hard. And following Jesus really has extreme cost. And if you do it, and I'm talking about you really do it in a saving way, one of those costs will be you will not be loved. because you're not going to do the things the world loves. And so they will hate you. So I just want to know, like, because I think some of you sometimes are on the fence, like which is it, which do you want? Like, do we want some watered down, easy believism, follow Jesus, it's all right? Or do we want what Jesus says? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And if you do, you will be hated. Do you want the gospel? Because let me tell you tonight, if you come to Christ in faith, if you surrender everything to him, all of a sudden heaven is your home. You're no longer of this world, which means you don't do what the world does, but by the power of the Spirit, you do what the world hates and God loves, and the world will hate you just like it hated Jesus. Next, Jesus is going to show us that the hate he received from the world. We might think, okay, like we're going to be a little bit hated here and there. What Jesus is going to show us next is that the hate Jesus received is actually the same hate that we will receive from the world. What we're about to read may be one of the most least popular promises in the entire Bible. We love, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. We love all things work together for good, but I just want to know, do we love verse 20, John chapter 15? Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. Now hear this promise. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Jesus says it. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now notice, Jesus gives an absolute here. It's something called an absolute. He doesn't say, if they persecuted me, Chase, they might persecute you. It's possible they persecute you. It might happen. And what's he say to Chase? He says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It's an absolute. It's just like if you come to faith in Jesus, you will be saved. There's an absolute there. It's a guarantee. It's not a possibility. If you're good and clean your life up, you will be saved. If you follow Jesus, if they persecuted him, they will persecute you. It is a guarantee. It is a promise. Now, you may not be crucified on a cross like Jesus, but if you're following him in a world that hates him, you can expect a very similar kind of treatment that Jesus received. And why? Because Jesus says, well, a servant is not greater than his master. If he endured great suffering and he's your master and you're his servant, what do you think you're going to receive? You're going to receive great suffering. You know I love Kentucky basketball, but I love a lot of sports. In fact, my favorite sports team behind Kentucky Wildcats is the Atlanta Braves. I love the Braves. A couple years ago, it was actually before Maddox was born, so this was over 4 years ago, I took my wife, who was starting to like baseball, who was starting to love the Braves, I took her to a Braves, and I know some of you, versus the Cardinals, playoff game. It was a playoff game. In fact, the Braves were winning as a best of five. We were up 2-1. And we thought we had this in the bag, okay? So I had on all my Braves gear. Caitlin is pregnant, like really pregnant. And she has on her Braves gear. And we get tickets the day of the game. Cardinals fans, they gave up hope. We got great tickets for a great price. Me and her walk into enemy territory. Got my Braves jersey on. In that whole game, I got yelled at like I've never gotten yelled at before. Never before and never since. And what's worse is Yadier Molina hit a walk-off that game. And so as I'm walking out, angry. Like I'm walking out with my pregnant wife and she's struggling up the stairs. And the Cardinals fans are just yelling obscenities to us. And you know what I did? And Caitlin will tell you this, I laughed. I laughed. I had the biggest grin on my face. You want to know what? Because I loved it. And the reason I loved it is because I expected it. I expected it. This is a playoff game. You should hate me. I'm in your house. We're in the enemy's territory. You should hate me. Like if I'm following the Braves, I can expect to get treated like the Braves, right? It's my team. That's who I'm following. The same is true if we follow Jesus. Like, you can expect the same kind of treatment that the one you're following receives. It's actually absurd. I want to say it is absurd to think you can live, you can work, you can play, you can go to school, you can be in a locker room in enemy territory, aka the world, and somehow you can escape what your master endured. And if you are escaping it, perhaps you're not wearing the jersey very proudly. Like, I'm telling you, head to toe, I was in Braves gear. You couldn't miss me. I couldn't have like switched and say, well, I actually got my Cardinals. I was actually for the Cardinals. Don't yell that word at me. I'm gonna have to look that up. I don't even know what it meant. Please, I'm a Cardinals fan. I was sold out. I had Braves head to toe. Maybe, if you aren't enduring the type of suffering that Jesus was enduring, maybe you're not wearing his jersey very proudly. Because if you're living for Jesus, you're not living for the world, you are going to be hated. But now Jesus takes this a step further and says, you're going to be hated like I was hated. You're going to be persecuted just like I was persecuted. And so the hate I got at that Braves game, you understand, it didn't have anything to do with me. I didn't take it personal. It's cool, Cardinals fan. I don't hate you. I knew it was going to happen. They actually just hated the Braves. And I was a fan of the Braves, so they hated me. And it's that way with Jesus. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You really can't take it personal because what they really hate, who they really hate, is Jesus. So I want you to pay attention to this next point, and it's that point exactly. The reason the world hates us is because it hates Jesus. This is the reason. You can expect it. The world hates you because they hated Jesus. Verse 21, all these things they will do to you on account of my name, Jesus says. They'll persecute you not because necessarily they don't like you. They don't like you because you love me and they hate me. We're followers of Jesus. He's our master. We're the servant. And so they hate us because they hate our master. I'm telling you, you don't have to take this personally. It's not personal. The world hates Jesus, and because you're following him, they hate you. And I know on the surface here, our initial reaction is what? As we read this, man, I don't want to be hated. I don't want to be persecuted. But if we really pause here and think about this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, it is such an honor, it is such a privilege for you and I to get the opportunity to be hated on account of Jesus. Sign me up. Because what is, and it is on the screen, what does 1 Peter 4:13 say? Peter says, rejoice. Hear that. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Our initial reaction, I get it. Our flesh would say, Chase, you don't do this. Like, don't follow Jesus. Don't be hated. That sounds terrible. But we got to let the Spirit speak to us and say, wait, hold on. Jesus is my master. I'm not ashamed of him. He's my Lord. He's saved me from my sin. He's given me new life. He's made me new. He's made heaven my home. It's an honor to get to suffer with Jesus. It is an honor that Christ would regard you and me worthy to suffer with him in this world. The scriptures say this isn't a bad thing. This isn't a bad thing. This is something we can rejoice over. The only reason we're hated is because Jesus was hated. So if we proudly rep his name everywhere we go, let me tell you this, you can also proudly rep his shame. If you proudly rep his name, you can proudly rep his shame because it just comes with the territory. This is who I'm with. I'm with Jesus. So if you hate him, you're going to hate me. And I can be totally content with that because it's an honor to suffer with the one who paid everything for me. Everything. So I rejoice insofar as I share Christ's suffering. So this is what we've seen so far. We're going to be hated by the world. Now, right now, this may seem a little bit unfair. Let's think about this. Because at this point, you're being hated. By the way, you're called to love. So it's not like, well, I'll get my revenge. Watch this. I'm going to punch you in the nose. It's no, you're going to be hated and you don't get to punch them in the nose. You get to love them. So the question is, why do we love Jesus and have to suffer? While people who hate him seemingly get off the hook. How is that fair? Tell me, how is that fair? That's a good question. Why do you and I have to be hated and everyone else get off scot-free? Jesus is going to address that in the next section of our passage. And he's going to show us that great condemnation is coming on those who hate Jesus. And great condemnation, like, that's not even a good adjective for condemnation. What is coming for those who hate Jesus passes anything I can fathom. For some of you, what we're going to read, it's talking about you. First thing Jesus is going to show us is that those who know Jesus and hate him are without excuse. Think about it. Those who know Jesus and hate him, reject him, say no to him, say no, I'd rather love the world, they are without excuse. John 15, verse 22, Jesus says, after saying, you're going to be hated by the world. And we're asking, what's going to happen to the world? Because I don't want to be hated. Nothing happened to them. What's going to happen to the world? He says, if I had not came and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now that I have came and spoken to them, they have no excuse for their sin. Now, this is a tricky verse. I want you to pay attention. This verse is not saying that the only people who are guilty of sin in this world are those who saw Jesus, met Jesus, hear about Jesus, come to Impact. For instance, Jesus is not saying that the Pharisees who persecuted Jesus and ultimately killed Jesus, they're guilty because Jesus came and spoke to them. But those who he didn't come to speak to, they aren't guilty. That is not what Jesus is teaching. It is important to remember that the Bible very clearly, and I mean very clearly in multiple parts, bears witness of the guilt of all mankind, all people, regardless of whether or not they physically met Jesus, regardless of whether or not they've ever read the Bible, regardless of whether or not they've ever heard the name of Jesus. All people across the entire world, no matter where you live, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, are guilty before God. And we see this very clearly in Romans 1. And I know this is on the screen because this is such a crucial text. You can't misunderstand Jesus' words because Romans 1 says this. Paul writes, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All, that's an encompassing word, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. So what can be known about God is plain to all people. Verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So what's going on here? Paul's saying all people are accountable to God because God has revealed himself to all people in the things that have been made. If you just look, if you walk outside tonight, you're going to see probably a rainy sky. But yesterday, I was literally with Mason Hill. We went to a basketball game. I dropped him off. I looked up at the sky, and it was kind of the weirdest thing ever. I was like, bro, look at that moon. And I could tell he was a little uncomfortable. He's like, it's a moon. I've seen it a long time now. And I was just admiring this moon. And as I look at that moon, and let's say I'm in North Africa, and I've never heard of Jesus. Do you know what? That moon testifies to me that there is a creator out there who created that moon. And he didn't just create that moon, but he created all the stars. And he didn't just create the stars, but he created all the trees. And he didn't just create the trees, but he created all the animals. And he didn't just create the animals, but he created me. And because I am created by him, I am owned by him. I am accountable to him, but here I am, no matter where I am, and all I got to show is unrighteousness. And so what does Paul say in the very last part of that? He says, so they are without excuse. So all people, and then we'll go back to John, but you got to see this. All people, regardless of their knowledge of Jesus, regardless of where they heard the gospel, are guilty concerning their sin because God has clearly made himself known to all people, and yet all people suppress the truth and have fallen away. So if we go back to John 15, understand Jesus is not contradicting. He can't contradict what the Bible says. What he's actually saying is that it's just, he's not saying it's just those who have met me who are guilty. He's not saying it's just those who have heard the gospel who are guilty. Everyone else is innocent. Instead, what Jesus is teaching is that there is a greater guilt. There is a greater judgment, a greater condemnation coming in which people who have met Jesus, this is you, by the way, who have heard about Christ, who have heard the gospel, they will receive this greater judgment if they never trust in him. So all people are guilty. But what's Jesus saying? He's saying to hear about me, to know about me, to have the gospel presented to me and still walk away rejecting Jesus Christ, there is a greater condemnation coming you. And maybe thinking, well, that doesn't sound right. Didn't everybody just kind of get God's wrath and that's like enough? Well, Jesus actually teaches this in a lot of places. I got both on the screen. We'll look at both here. Matthew 10:15. Jesus says, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town, context, that rejects Jesus. It's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in which fire rained down from heaven and consumed them than for that town that rejects Jesus. The town has a greater condemnation coming because the gospel was presented and they said no. What's Matthew 11:24 say? It says, I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Sodom and Gomorrah, an Old Testament city, God rains fire down from heaven. So what's Jesus saying? What's the point? To those who hear the gospel, and listen, because some of this is you. To those who hear the gospel, you know the gospel, and you still reject the gospel, your condemnation is going to be greater than Sodom and Gomorrah's. Now, in this moment, I've already alluded to this. I'm fully aware there's two groups of people in this room. There are people who have heard the gospel, and by God's grace, because of his grace, you have responded in faith. And there's those people who have heard the gospel time and time and time and time and time and time again, and you've rejected it over and over and over. And so what's the point to both of these groups? Well, the first group of people, I need you to understand that while, yes, the world hates you, and yes, that is hard, they are not getting off scot-free. They're not. There is a greater condemnation coming upon those who hate you because they hate Jesus. So what's going to happen? You're going to suffer right now. You're going to be hated right now. But you are going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. And they might prosper right now. They might be loved right now. But they will be condemned for all of eternity. And so to that second group of people, understand that Jesus' words, this greater condemnation, it belongs to you. Like, you are the target audience. Understand, there are people on the other side of the world who have never heard about Christ. And yet they are still guilty of their sin because they've rebelled against their Creator. And they will be judged. But then there's you. And you've heard about Jesus. You're hearing about him tonight. You know who he is. You know what he came to do. And some of you have literally been hearing about it your entire lives. And yet instead of hearing and believing and trusting and treasuring and surrendering to the God who loves you, you have chosen to reject him. And so to quote Jesus, it is going to be more bearable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. How great is your guilt? And Jesus says, you're without excuse. And that's heavy. So can I just say this? I can't promise that second group of people tomorrow, but I can promise you today. I can promise you that God has been patient and gracious enough with you that right now, in this moment, it's not too late for you. Because tonight, you can repent. Tonight, that second group of people, you can trust in Jesus who is worthy. And you can be saved and you can be made new. And I want you to hear me. There is a great cost to doing it. You will be hated. But there is also a great reward. And that reward is friendship with God. And that reward is eternal life with God forever. Maybe you're thinking at this point, I'm still not getting it. Why is it such a big deal? Who cares if I reject the gospel? Like, who cares if I say no to Jesus? Well, let's throw the next point here. Jesus says those who hate him, the reason this matters, the reason you're incurring so much guilt is because you are hating God. John 15, 23 through 24, Jesus says, as clear as day, whoever hates me hates my Father also. Then he says, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. So to those who hate Jesus in this world, the point Jesus is making is that you are hating God. You're hating God. Like, all people are guilty of rejecting God the Father because he's clearly made himself known to them through creation. But to those who hate Jesus, they are not just willingly rejecting God the Father, like all of mankind, but they're also willingly rejecting God the Son. And by the way, never let anyone tell you that Jesus never claims deity. Never let anyone tell you that Jesus never says he's God. He does it over and over and over and over and over and over and over throughout his life and ministry, throughout the scriptures, and this is another one of those occasions. Because he says, if you hate him, by that act, you are hating God. You are hating the Father. He is very clearly, very closely, you can't miss it unless you're trying to, associating himself with the Father in such a way that no other man has the privilege of doing. So why is hating Jesus such a big deal? Why is saying no to Christ such a big deal? Well, you're saying no to God himself. So if you are a disciple of Christ, hear me very clear. The world hates you, but you are in good company. Because the reason they hate you is because they actually hate Jesus, which means they actually hate God. And as strange as this sounds, as uncomfortable as this text is, you can take comfort in it. But because you can know that if the perfect creator of the world, in all of his love and all of his goodness and all of his patience and all of his kindness, is hated, maybe it's okay if you're hated too, on account of his name. And if you're one of the ones who have heard the gospel, you know about Jesus, and yet you're choosing tonight to not believe, I need you to know that your condemnation is so great. You are incurring condemnation because you are not just rejecting the Father, you are rejecting the Son. And so the very last thing that I want to show you is that the Bible testifies. It testifies for those who love Jesus and are hated by the world, and it testifies against those who hate Jesus and are loved by the world. And I promise this will be quick. I want you to draw your attention to verse 25. Jesus says, the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled, and he quotes Psalm 35. He says, they hated me without a cause. Psalm 35, it's a psalm that tells us about the great salvation that is coming for God's people who are suffering in this world. Salvation is coming. And that same psalm tells us of the great judgment that is coming for all those who reject God and hate his people. So to end our night, what I'm going to do is I want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 35. It's also going to be on the screen. And the question that I want you to ask is, which group of people do you belong to? Do you love Jesus and because of that you're being hated by the world? Or do you hate Jesus? You're rejecting him. You're saying no to him because you want to be loved by the world. For the first group, salvation is coming. Keep going, which we're going to see next week. But for the second group, great judgment is coming. But tonight, I can't promise tomorrow, but tonight, Christ is offering salvation. So come today and be made new. As our band comes up, it'll be also on the screen. Psalm 35, I'm going to read just a couple verses, and then we'll respond. Psalm 35 says, "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them," that's those who hate God's people, "be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them." A couple more verses. Watch this. "For without cause they hid their net from me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life." And now watch the ending. "Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net he hid ensnare him, let him fall into it to his destruction." Students, which group do you belong to? Are you hated by the world because you're loving God? You're in good company. Keep going. Salvation is coming. But are you of the group that has heard the gospel? You just heard it and you're saying, "Nah, I don't want it. I want love by the world. I want to hate God. I want to hate Christ. What's coming?" Judgment, and not just judgment. A judgment that is greater than Sodom and Gomorrah's. Repent today and be made new. Let's stand together.